praise you, Father. We magnify you. Just begin to enter in. If it takes a worship team or live music for you to enter in, you might have a tough time to do that, you know, because that's not always going to be there. But Father, we love you tonight. We're so thankful for all that you've given to us, for all that you've provided to us. Father, you are great and greatly to be praised. Father, we magnify your holy name. We bless you and praise you and honor you. Father, we thank you for all you've done for us through Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for dying on that cross, for paying that price. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of us. Father, you have set us up to succeed. We thank you, you're on our side. We thank you, you are for us. We thank you that you're working on our behalf. Even when we can't see it and even when we can't feel it, Father, you're doing something for us. You are good. You are a good Father. You're an attentive Father. You're a caring, faithful Father. We love you tonight. Father, we thank you for all that we're going to receive. We thank you for taking us higher, further in the Word. Thank you for boldness tonight. Thank you for utterance tonight. Thank you for hearts being touched, lives being changed, destinies being overturned. We receive it all. We thank you. We're going to leave here changed. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Praise God. I'm fired up and excited about the series that we are in. You know, it's important that you are able to stir yourself up. You know, in the American church culture and things, you know, it can become like a rock concert. It can become like just some kind of entertainment show. And I'm not against worship. Don't misunderstand me. I'm against all that stuff, you know, that's not heartfelt. Not saying all of it is. But you know what's interesting is that in Jesus' ministry, worship team was never mentioned. And he did pretty good. He did all right. You know, he did all right. The Apostle Paul's ministry, you never see an emphasis on the music or the worship team. Amen. And so it's part of me, there's part of me that appreciates nights like tonight where it's just solely about the Word of God and just worshiping Him from your heart. And so let's make sure that we always keep the main thing the main thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Don't misunderstand me. Music does have its place, but it can get out of place as well. And John chapter 14. In verse 15, we'll do just brief review, but I'll tell you, if you've been listening to our midweek service, it's kind of a double dose. You'll hear some of this stuff, but I've been preaching this and meditating on this, and I was just with my pastor a week ago, and he's asking me what I've been reading and what I've been really meditating on, and I just had shared with him, I want to become so skillful in following the Holy Spirit. And if we would do that, we'd see some changes in our lives. Amen. And maybe we'll mention some of those things here tonight and reiterate them. But we already prayed, so let's get right into it. John 14 in verse 15. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you." And so we've been looking at that. Jesus said, "I'm leaving, but I'm leaving you with something that will be with you, but also dwell in you." And who is it? It's the Spirit of truth, praise God. And we looked at the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is not the diet portion of God. The Holy Spirit is not the lesser part of God. And think about this. This really ought to open your eyes and give you revelation that God said, "I will live on the inside of you." God Almighty. And we looked at some things about God, didn't we? We looked at the fact that He knows everything. He sees everything. He's been to the future and back already. Praise God. That God is living in you. The Bible calls it the treasure that is within. And we mentioned a story that I had heard about a man who sold a video game from the 80s that had never been opened for, I think the price was $600,000+, maybe a little more, I can't remember now. But anyways, it was sitting in a desk drawer under papers and things. And there that treasure was in something the whole time. And that treasure, no doubt, when it was sold, was used for great things. And when that revelation came of that game, was used for great things. But 6 months earlier, I'm sure the person could have used that money. A year earlier, a person could have used that money. And there it sat the whole time. But because they were unaware of what was there and how to take advantage of that, they didn't receive of it. And it's the same thing. It's bonkers to me that Christians have God in them and still live the way they do, receive the things they receive, put up with the things they put up with, amen, struggle with the things they struggle with God on the inside. And it'd be like someone knowing that that man had a $600,000 lottery ticket in their possession, and on the outside looking in saying, why is that person struggling to pay their bills anymore? Why is that person frustrated about money? Oh, they don't know that they have $660,000 in a desk drawer. Why is that Christian, after all these years, still struggling financially? Why is after all these years, is that Christian still struggling with the same health problems and the same emotional problems? Don't they know they have God on the inside of them? But see, a lot of people don't know that. Now, before you look at me and say, Pastor Mike, that's not compassionate. That's not nice to say that about people. Well, here's what Jesus said. He said freedom ought to be the mark of a Christian's life. He said, if you know the truth will what? Set you free. He didn't say if you live in a certain part of the world, you can't be set free. He didn't say if your family genes and the heritage you grow. No. He said freedom simply comes or is kept from someone based on what they do or don't know. So when somebody is struggling with sickness year after year, it's not hereditary. It's not genes. There might be some natural things to that, but the word trumps all that. When somebody struggles financially year after year, it's not just bad luck. It's not just they came. No, Jesus said, before you get offended, if you know the truth will set you free. And so when there's not freedom over a prolonged length of time, what's the problem? You don't know enough. Remember, I've told this story so many times, and forgive the utterance. We prayed and asked for it because this stuff just starts coming out and you got to obey it, but here I was struggling financially, and a prophet of God called me up in a meeting in Canada, Dr. Dufresne, and said to me, he said, who here is desperate for money? I don't mean you can't pay your bills and you're just struggling this month and you wish things could be better. I'm talking desperate. Well, not only I personally was desperate for money, but the church at that time, nothing looked good at all. And myself and another pastor from Kansas came up, and Dr. Dufresne laid hands and parted the anointing. But then the very next service, Pastor Nancy Dufresne came right off the front and stood right in front of me, and she said, the reason that you're desperate or struggling with money is because, and she looked right at me, because you don't know enough. Your thinking's wrong. And she didn't even care. This is what I love about it. She didn't even care what circumstances could cause me to be considered desperate financially. Didn't care. Because it's not circumstances. Yeah. Stop being a victim. Stop being a victim. Well, this and this. Yeah, but you have God in you. I'm not saying things don't happen. Don't misunderstand me. But you have the overcomer in you. You have the greater one in you. And when we keep meddling around and wallowing around in the victim mentality, woe is me, all it's saying is the power of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God that God has given to me is not enough for my circumstances. It's the truth. No doubt the devil rears his ugly head. No doubt People suffer things and go through things, but no matter what comes our way, in all these things, the Bible says, we are more than conquerors. But if you don't think that way and you're blaming everything else, hallelujah. I guess something needed to be said like this, because I've preached this message before and none of this came out first. It needs to be said that here we have this treasure in us. And so many times we just come to church and play church and go through the motions. And here this information's being taught and told to you that if you get a grip on it, if you get a hold of it, the recognition and the revelation that God Almighty is in you, when you cooperate with that, it's like getting that revelation, oh my gosh, I have an unopened original copy of Super Mario Brothers and they're selling for $500,000. It's like all of a sudden everything changes when that revelation and that light bulb goes off. And so here he says that God is with us and God is in us. But then he takes it even a step further in chapter 16 and verse 7. Chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient or profitable or advantageous for you that I go away. Think about that for a second. How awesome it must have been to be with Jesus. The things you'd see, the things you'd experience, the miracles, the signs and the wonders, knowing you almost had like walking around with this life trump card with you in the manifestation of a man. Right? When life would rear its ugly head, you had the trump card with you. His name was Jesus. And he's telling them and telling all of us, because he's in here with us today either, and we can be tempted to say how lucky those 12 were. No, we're luckier. We're more blessed. Why? Because Jesus said it is profitable, it is advantageous, praise God, it is expedient that I go away. He's saying, it's better that I'm gone. Why? For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, he will come unto you. That's what the previous verses told us. And then drop down to verse 13. There's a lot of good things in there, but I want to drop down to verse 13. He says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, remember in John 14, he said he'll be with you and in you. When the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, what a lot of people don't recognize is, I like what Julie said in the offering, that there's one truth. It's God's word is the ultimate truth, right? Remember I preached a sermon years ago, the facts don't mean jack? Because what's the saying in culture? That's the facts, Jack. Right? Something happens to you, it's like, I don't like that, but that's the facts, Jack. Well, we've learned with God that the facts don't mean jack. What were the facts? Abraham was 100 years old and couldn't have a baby. What were the facts? Sarah was 90 and her womb was dead. Those were the facts. What were the facts? There was a mountain on the right, a mountain on the left, and a body of water with no boats, no rafts, no canoes, no nothing. That's what the facts were. And in all those cases, you know what the facts were? They were in a fiery furnace turned up 7 times hotter. That were the facts. Those were the facts. You know what the facts were? A man was thrown into a den of lions, hungry lions. That was the facts. You know what the facts were? A teenage boy stood in front of a champion of war from his youth and should have been demolished and obliterated. Those were the facts. And in all those cases, you know what the facts were? Your Savior was dead for 3 days. Those were the facts. And you know what? In all those cases, the facts didn't mean jack. Didn't mean jack. Hallelujah. The facts didn't mean anything. Hallelujah. And when he says the truth is his word, it's his will. When you study this out and look at the whole picture of it all concerning us, when God set out before the foundations of the world and made a plan for each and every one of you, that was truth. That was his will, right? When God had laid things out for you in the desires of your heart and the blessings that would bless you and the things that the doors that would open for you and the plan and purpose that God had for your individual life, that is truth. Why? It's from Him. He is truth. And so it says He'll lead you or guide you into all truth. He's talking about not just things that are true, things that are false. Because remember what He said, I will lead you beside the still waters, right? I take you through by the green pastures. That's talking not just about what's a lie, what's not. That's talking about the good things. Remember in Ephesians 2, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He predestined that we should walk in them. The Amplified says that He prearranged and made ready for us to live the good life. That's what guiding into all truth is. It's the green pastures. It's the still waters. It's the abundant life. And so He's saying to you that the Holy Ghost will lead you into the truth for what? Your life, your plan. You know what truth, also truth is? Prosperity is truth because God is the author of it. So when He says, I'll guide you into all truth, you can count prosperity as one of the things that the Holy Ghost will lead you into. Did you know that health is truth? Because God is health. God is the great physician, Jehovah Rapha. So He will lead you out of sickness into the health that you need. He's favor. He's peace. He's protection. He's abundant life. He's all of these things. And He'll lead you into them. Praise God. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you. Listen to that. Show you things to come. Not only guide you into things of now, but show you what's up ahead. What an advantage, huh? What an advantage. Praise God. Well, then go over to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. If you want to call what I just did an opening rant, there's a sportscaster I like to listen to his name's Colin Cowherd. I'm not suggesting that you listen to him or don't. You know, there's some things on there that at times are, agree with his views, but I do like him as a sportscaster. He uses a lot of analogies and things that I understand, but he always starts the show with an opening rant. You know, a lot of those sportscasters start with an opening rant, but I'll tell you what, just in that opening rant, the revelation I just got, that wow, what's inside of me? And 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9 says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. So look what it's saying. It's saying you can't see it with your eye. The things that God has for you at times, prepared for you, we know they're good things, are not visible to the human eye, nor ear has heard, right? Can't even imagine some of this stuff is what it's saying to you. But God has revealed them unto us. Notice this, how's He do it? Not through your eyeballs, not through the weather, not through outward circumstances, by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save or except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, look what it says in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. So look at that. We saw that in the previous two verses. Jesus said, I'm leaving, the Comforter's coming. Who is the Comforter? The Spirit of truth. He's going to be with you and in you. And that's what it says here. It lines up with it. We've not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? Well, look at the next three words. That we might. Actually, look at the next four. That we might know. Why have we given? Why were we given the Spirit of God, not the Spirit of the world? That we might know. Why do we get it? Because there's things we don't know, and He gave them to them so we could know them. And hallelujah, yeah, wow. You know that word, remember that word know when we talk about Mary and I have not known a man? And Jesus said, if you know the truth, what's it talking about, becoming one with it? He's saying, I've given you the spirit of truth that you can know the things that are freely given to you of God. What's he saying? That you can become joined as one with what God has prepared for you. If God has prepared healing for you, which he has, the Spirit of God will help you become one with that and walk into that. Same with prosperity, same with your kids, same with all the blessings that we're talking about and what God has for us. Amen? Praise God. And, you know, I'd already know the way this is going, but there's this utterance I cannot deny, and I know I'm not going to be here all night preaching this, so we're going to be stretching this out into next week, I'm sure, but that's okay. Because we're just getting stronger every time. Hallelujah. We're just getting stronger and stronger every time. But this is what I'm trying to stress to people. It's kind of like the sales pitch for this. The sales pitch to stop being head in the clouds, dirt-to-dirt Christian. What is a dirt-to-dirt Christian? Not trying to be mean. Dirt-to-dirt Christian is just living their life, going about just whatever way the wind blows them, you know, not being skillful and not being strategic. You know, I know some dirt-to-dirt hunters. What do I mean by dirt-to-dirt hunters? Well, they just grab their weapon and just go in the woods and just really hope that, you know, it happens. To some people, it's like their first time out in the woods, you know, and they stink to high heavens and they're smoking a cigar and the biggest buck in the world comes by and they kill it. And it's like, what's the point of all the stuff I do? But it's rare. It's rare. The people that consistently kill the biggest bucks are not dirt to dirt about their hunting. They're not just, well, just walk out there and whatever will be, a buck will just fall in my lap. Not how it works. Not how it works. You have to be skillful. You have to be strategic in your exit and entry. You have to be strategic in what you smell like. You have to be strategic in how you set your stand. You have to be strategic with the wind. You have to be strategic about so many things to outsmart them. It's not just, well, I'll just go in the woods and hopefully a buck will fall on my lap every year. It won't happen that way. It's not how it works. And Christians are the same way. I'm a Christian and I love God. Things are just going to fall into my lap. No. He said, I've given you the Spirit of God that you can know or join or become one with the things I've prepared with you. What's he saying? Without the Spirit of God, right? Now, what are we learning here? Just because you have the game in the drawer does not mean you reap the benefits of what that game can bring you. Just because you have God on the inside does not mean you reap the benefits of what that treasure can bring you. I mentioned about the testimony in South Dayton of the $101,000 offering, that supernatural testimony that I'd had that dream and saw people giving into the offering, and I knew by the Spirit of God that it was a substantial amount like the church had never received before. And then it came to pass one day that offering came in, and the Holy Ghost, because of that dream, I knew exactly who it was without even thumbing through the offering. And even Jeff was like, oh yeah, it was so-and-so. I said, no, it wasn't. Look again. And said, I know who it was. I had a dream about these people doing this. Well, I come to find out later, you know, they had walked into great prosperity. And that prosperity had paid off debts of themselves and their family, were able to be a tremendous blessing to the body of Christ. And what a seed in the ground, right? And they didn't give the whole $101,000, but at that time, you know, we were only, you know, I'd say $2,500 to $5,000 would be an average offering in the week at that time, and $5,000 being really a high-end offering, and right around $2,500 to $3,500 about average at that time. But anyways, talking with them, how did you get in that prosperity? Now, abundance belongs to all of us. Now, again, what is the definition of abundance? I remember when Brother Hagin would talk about it, say, people would say, well, you're not a millionaire. He said, well, millionaire doesn't qualify as abundance. Abundance in the Bible and prosperity in the Bible is a full supply. What's a full supply look like? You not stressing over your bills every week. You paying your debts down. You being able to enjoy life. you know, being able to do fun things, having an adequate supply, and being generous, that's abundance. And how many of you know that belongs to everybody? And they walked into great abundance, but here's the thing. They had lost a lot of money in the stock market doing their own thing. You know, not their heart was not wrong ever, the precious people, but they just went with what the magazine said. What do the professionals say to do? What does my brain seem to do? And they lost a lot of money, and they got fed up, and they had a revelation. If I have God in me, and he knows everything, can see everything, I'm guessing that God knew that when I put my money here, it was going to fail. I'm guessing God was not surprised by that. But notice what God allowed. Sat right back and let them do what they want to do. Right? God will let you do what you want to do. So they lost that money, a substantial amount of money, and said, you know what? That's not fun. That doesn't feel good. We have God in us. Why don't we, from now on, instead of putting our money where the professionals think, instead of putting our money where the magazines think, instead of what we think in our own minds, why don't we see what God says to do? After all, he knows everything, can see everything, and promised to show us things. So they got serious, and we want to be funders for the kingdom of God. And their heart was right. They weren't trying to build up some kingdom of selfishness and greed. They wanted to be a blessing to the body of Christ. But see, here's the thing. When you desire to be a blessing to the body of Christ, you will never run out. You will always be walking in abundance. Amen? Hallelujah. And so what did they do? They found out how to hear from heaven, how God's operating, how God's leading. And guess what? God told them, this is where you need to put your money. Well, when God told them that that's where they need to put their money, guess what their head was saying? That's not where you should put your money. Guess what the magazines were saying in the papers? Don't put your money there. Guess what people they would talk to would say? That's not where you want to put your money. And that's how Christians live their lives. Hey, so-and-so, what do you think I should do about this? Hey, so-and-so, what should I do about this? Hey, Google, hey, Wikipedia, what should I do about, what does this say about this? When the whole time we have the literal know-it-all in us who says, I'm here to show you. Trust in me with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, you know what he says? In your money, in your kids, in your body, in your job, in whatever pertains to your life, acknowledge me, I will direct and guide you. But how is he directing and guiding you? He said, I'll guide you by the Spirit of God. Well, there's a case that abundance was, obviously, if God told them how to do it, was waiting for them. Well, what if they're just dirt-da-dur? Well, if God wanted to be blessed, you know, I'm a tither. If God wants to be blessed, that great prosperity abundance will come, and my stocks have to work. My investments have to work. One of the things we'll see in this series is walking into great abundance and how to walk into great abundance with following the Holy Ghost. And that's the key, that you have to also follow the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of people get, I'll use my house as an example. And well, we might not even get to any of this tonight. I don't know. Who cares? I'm just going to go with the Holy Spirit. We don't need to worry about it. So this is what we're trying to, just giving you a sales pitch of really we need to just get on board with this Holy Ghost stuff. You know, for 26 months we looked for a home. And we looked, which again, in my mind, now after the fact, so many things I see, okay, that was why. Oh, that was why. And I'm still learning now. Oh, that's why. I looked in the South Dayton area. I mean, you pastor there. It seems like you should live there. But, you know, in all the time, it's not really hindered anything. I mean, we have phones, and I don't mind driving, and we have, you know, ways to get a hold of people at the drop of a hat. You know, it's not like the old days. You track down the pastor, you got to go beat down his door and interrupt his nap. You know, It's not like the, but anyways, I just followed God. I just thought I need to be where the church is. 26 months, went and saw houses. Went and saw places and just, one time I remember just, you know, being out with Court looking for a house in South Dayton, and naturally on the outside, oh my gosh, log cabin set up inside, big great room with a fireplace that went up, and at the top he had a humongous elk and a loft, and it just, in the first 5 minutes I was in the house, the Holy Ghost said, nope, not this one. I said, oh, I'm dreading telling her. We're supposed to go to dinner after this. This is going to ruin dinner. She loved it. So we get in the car, say, that's not the one. Oh, the floodgates opened. The tears, well, you know, they're outgrowing our house and get out of emotions a little bit, find out, yeah, that's not the one. But so 26 months I'm looking, and you know the story. Pull up to the house, see the Real Estate Advantage sign, call to find out how much it is, or I might have looked it up, I can't remember, and saw the price of it. And the price of it was tens of thousands of dollars more than the bank approved us when she was working. She had just resigned from her job just recently for me to stay home with Caleb and the kids and me to pastor the church. And so now we're on my salary, which when she quit her job, it didn't set us back again $2,000 a month, but it set us back almost $1,000 a month, because she was the one making all the money. She's the smart one of the operation. Not me, you know, she was making all the money. And so now she quits her job and we're back to being, believing God just to make it. And the banks, when she had her high paying job, approved us for an amount that was tens of thousands of dollars less than this house was. And so now we're on my salary, which was way less than hers. And the banks would laugh me out of the building. My paycheck laughed in my face at that house price. My savings account laughed at me, you know, and here the whole time, okay, I guess now, yeah, that's why that's nice, that's why I'm not going to live there, and that price, and so I was about ready to just dismiss it, but knowing the Holy Spirit, knowing that voice, call on that place, and I thought, this is just either you're cruel, God, which I know you're not, or you're just trying to build my faith for the future. Go, because I do encourage people. You're believing God for a new vehicle. You're not believing God for a new vehicle very much if you're not out looking at brand new vehicles and test driving them. Get your faith going. If you say, well, I'm looking for houses. Are you really looking for houses? Or are you just wishing and hoping one falls in your lap? Go spy out the land. Isn't that what they were told? Go spy out the land. Go see what I've given you and blessed you. Hallelujah. Well, and the Holy Spirit said, don't do it. And you know, through the process of different things, the Holy Ghost led us in different maneuvers. We got into that house supernaturally. Now, here's my point of all this. What if I was, maybe we should title tonight, Don't Be a Dirt to Dirt. Don't be a dirt to dirt Christian, which is what? Just, oh, I'm saved and everything's going to be okay. And if God wants me to have a nice house and all these good things that pastor's talking about, it's just going to fall in my lap. No. I gave you the Spirit of God that you might know through the Spirit the things that are prepared. So here God is leading me to do this, which tells me what? That's His will. 26 months looking in a different area. Finally, I'm driving around. I see one in the Lakewood area. I'm like, I really like that house. I'd like to just pull in and just see what it's all about. It just kept calling out to me. Every time I drive by, I don't know if it was the Spirit of God or the bright yellow. It's not yellow anymore. It's a bluish gray. But it just kept calling out to me. Finally, I said, yeah, let's find out about this. But here's the point of all this. What if I didn't know the Holy Ghost? Because the way it turned out, we know what? That was what God had for Mike Anderson. But how did Mike Anderson get into it? Not because financially I could. Not because some friend said, hey, you should go check out this house to be perfect for your family. Not because the banks approved us for a house in that range and we put it on real estate website and put it in the house for this amount of money and that house came up and, oh, let's go look at that one. No. Simply because of the Holy Ghost. And in that process of that time, we had the Ishmael house come up. Now, remember Ishmael from the Bible? God told Abraham, you're going to have a baby. Abraham said, I can't. I'm too old. And it's not just me that needs to help make this baby. It's my wife, and her womb is dead. So let's go find a younger woman to make this baby with. And they made Ishmael, and there was problems, and it wasn't God's highest and best, was it? And God said, no, that's not the one. That's not the one. The one I have for you is Isaac, the son of promise, right? That's where the blessing is. Well, the Ishmael house came up, which we had heard from a realtor. I think you ought to look at this house. Because what had happened was it was a gorgeous house in Jamestown on a cul-de-sac that was right on the outskirts of town. So it even called to me because through the back window of that house were all the fields. And I could see deer and things. And so it was like Jamestown, but it was on the outskirts where you're starting to get into the country. And it was a family that the dad had taken a job in Pittsburgh. And they had been apart, the kids and from the dad and the husband and wife apart, because he has to live down there. He can't commute from Jamestown to Pittsburgh every day. And it's going months and months and months. So the more it's going, the lower they're dropping the price of this nice house in Jamestown. Well, I'll tell you what, that was speaking to my flesh. That was speaking to my paycheck. That was speaking to what the bank said they could do. And it had a lot of the features that we wanted. And it was 3 to 4 times less of a whole setup than what we're in now. But my mind, my flesh, my paycheck, my bank account, the bank's opinions of man were all telling me to go that way. And the only thing that told me not to do it, now what do most dirt-da-durs do? Oh, this is cheaper. It's a nice place and it's cheaper. And it won't be that much pressure on my faith. Even though I didn't even know at the time until Pastor Nancy DeFrank confirmed, she said, Pastor, God will press you in your personal finances and stretch you so you can bring that faith to the church for church things. I didn't know that at the time. And so here the whole time, I'm thinking, I don't want to use my faith, and God's trying to get me, I need you to use your faith. I want you to build your faith. And the only thing that was telling me yes, that I could have something better and bigger and more enjoyable, more peaceful, was the Holy Ghost. So what am I trying to tell you in this humongous long opening introduction rant? There are things. Can we pull that verse back up? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. There are things that God has for you. Things that God has for you that will blow your mind. How do we know? Because he's the God of Ephesians 3:20. What does that verse say? That he can do exceeding, abundantly, above all that you could ever even ask him or that you could think. What's that mean? There's blessings that come into your life. And so now, there's certain things I'm walking in that I can't even fathom them in my brain. And they all tied into living in this area, and I didn't know it. And things just keep, okay, that's why you had me in this area. Oh, that was, some of it was my dad in situation, some of it was this with my kids, some of it was this personally, and I'm starting to see it all line up. But things that blow my mind that God has for me that were only acquired by the leading of the Spirit. And so I'm no different than you in the sense that we're human beings, children of God. God wants to do Ephesians 3:20 in your life. Wants to absolutely blow your mind with things. But there are things you'll never get into. That prosperity of the people in South Dayton. The house that I'm in and all the things that have come after. That you'll never, because God would have let me what? Walk right into the Ishmael house. Just like God let that couple put all their money in the wrong place. He lets you do whatever you want. Did you know that God will let you do whatever you want? He will. He'll let you make mistake after mistake. But he's also telling you, I put a navigational tool on the inside of you that will direct you and guide you into things that you could never even imagine for yourselves. If you'll learn to follow the Holy Spirit. If you'll learn, amen? Praise God. We don't have a whole lot of room where to go tonight, but I want to mention some things from last week. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. Sometimes If we're not open to just following the Holy Ghost, I'll give you an example. That was the flow tonight. You could sense there was a flow, and it helped you. If I'd have just said, you know what, this is again where the Holy Ghost, nope, I have set my mind on this, we're preaching this, I'm going to stay staunch to this, it would have been dry as can be, and it would have been, I was up here like I'm chewing on sawdust. But when the Spirit of God says, no, you go this direction, and you learn over time to follow that, then it just flows like, okay. How many services have I been in where Pastor Nancy Dufresne gets up and gets on a rant in the beginning of her message, and what seemed to be maybe just a little encouragement turns out she's like, well, I didn't preach a thing in my notes. The Holy Ghost trying to say some things to people tonight. And a lot of times, people need to be woken up, or what, waked up. How would you say that? Woken, waken, waked. Woken is a word. Woken's a word. Say that over and over in your head and see if it sounds right. Woken. 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 Someone say woked up? Is that what you, is that how you talk, John? Was that you? Oh, I thought you said woked up. It sounds like something I was in high school. I was always woked up, you know, whatever that means. I don't even know what that means, but so you didn't say that. Okay. I must have just heard it. Anyways, hallelujah. We need to, the Holy Ghost is trying to encourage us that, hey, you know, I've never used that example of the dirt-to-dirt hunter, but it's so true. And that's how Christians live their life, just so unskillful. So just fly by the seat of their pants, just whatever will be, and then they chalk it up to that was God's will. You know, imagine if we got in the Ishmael house. The truth would have been the whole time God would have said, see my son down there living in that house? That's not what I had for him. He's down there rejoicing because it's much better than the old house he used to live in, and it's a lot cheaper than the other house I had for him, and he doesn't have to use his faith, and the pressure's off. He thinks he hung the moon. But the whole time I had for him, this place, and I'm telling you, by seeing that and being in the other, blows it out of the water. But that was God. Amen. What does he want to do for you? What does he want to get you into? What does he want to spare you from? What does he want to deliver you from? What does he want to move you into? Oh, boy. What did I say? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then just in the few minutes I want to just share this, that, you know, and it kind of even goes along with what we already had looked at last week, that we are a three-part being. And this is where, this is what you have to understand, because this is the danger if you don't. We are a three-part being. We are a spirit, but that spirit is housed in what we call our earth suit or our flesh, the body. And we have a soul, which is not the spirit. And a lot of people think the soul and the spirit are the same, but they're not. Remember in Hebrews chapter 4, what is it, in verse 12, the word of God is quick and powerful, right? Sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder to even the spirit and soul. It says divides. It separates. That's what it means, to divide, to separate them. Well, why? Because they're not the same. And so we are a spirit. We have a body. We have a spirit that lives in a body, and we have a soul. And what you have to understand is all three of these parts of us endeavor to lead us. And they're strong in how they do that, right? We looked at those things last week, that the flesh can be loud and the mind can be loud, but God's only leading by one way, the Spirit of God. Amen? Romans 8 and verse 16, or 8 and verse 14. Romans 8 and verse 14. So what are we going to do going forward? We're going to, again, I guess we needed to rewind things based on what the Holy Ghost had prompted tonight. We're recognizing what we need and then making it a point to find out, okay, what does that mean? Okay, I recognize there's things that God has for me. Think about it. If how many people Yeah, I think about the church I came from. I have to stress this. I am not down on anybody or against anybody. And saying some of these things, if you filter it through the wrong lens, you know, it can seem like, man, is he criticizing? I'm just stating truth. The church I came from growing up were filled with sincere, wonderful people that loved Jesus. I mean, they were kind, compassionate, friendly, you know, sweet people, faithful to be there every week, you know, and love the Lord and are no doubt in heaven. But also the church that I came from, I never remember a sermon on being led by the Holy Spirit ever in all my childhood growing up. I never, and I see some head shaking because some of the places you came from, you could say, I never remember being taught to follow the Holy Ghost. Yet the Bible says, for as are many as are led by the Spirit. He doesn't say be led by a pro and cons list. He doesn't say be led by what your feelings say or what's your checkbook saying about that. What's your friends? What's your pastor saying about that? Well, if your pastor's not preaching the word and telling you the word, you know, there's some things in your life that there's no scripture for. People ask me, should I buy that house or should I not buy that house? I have no idea. God didn't tell me what you should buy and what you shouldn't buy. You have to find that out by the Holy Ghost. Amen? And I think about that church. Wonderful people that lived and died in that place. And all the things that God had for them, and they never got into any of them. Because why? No doubt they were blessed as far as God could take them, because they didn't know how to follow the Holy Spirit. See, God's not going to look at you. See, this is the danger where God says, my people are destroyed. Why? Lack of knowledge. You have to understand, God does not look down at somebody that's sitting in ignorance and say, I'm going to bend the rules for the ignorant one. I'm going to bend the rules. There's different things I could have for their lives down there. And if they knew how to follow the Holy Ghost, I would guide them to this, then to this, and then to this, and then they'd get into that. But since they're ignorant, I'm going to bend the rules, and I'm going to send an angel to them to write it on the walls. I'm going to write it in the sky. I'm going to have an airplane fly by, one of those smoke things behind. It's going to have their answer. He doesn't do that. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. When you don't know that there's this in you and that what this does and how to cooperate with this, you don't get the benefits of what this has to offer. And that's what we're trying to get you on board with. Amen? You say, Pastor, I'm on board. Well, maybe now you are. Maybe we were to begin with, but not all of us, for us to just try to drive this home. But where did I say to go? Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so hopefully next week we'll start to further look into, okay, God has things for us. It's through the Holy Ghost. Maybe, just maybe, tonight is heart surgery for people in the sense of a consecration service. What do I mean by that? Okay, Father, I've done things my own way. Okay, Father, I know you have more for me. Okay, Father, it's not just going to fall out of the sky and hit me in the head. Okay, Father, I actually, faith without works. Get ready to be blessed. How? By works. What man is blessed in all their deeds? The doer. What's that? That's a work. Maybe this is a wake-up call that people say, you know what? Okay, I have a choice for the rest of my life. I can stay in the status quo and just dirt my way through and just hope and just be okay with everything. Or I can actually tap into this treasure that's trying to get me into Ephesians 3:20 type of things. Amen. Hallelujah. People say to me, I've heard it said, I'm going to be, I won't mention that. But anyways, people have said to me, Pastor Mike, I want to have the testimonies that you have. Well, some of the testimonies that I have came from sowing what the natural in the checkbook would say was a stupid seed. What's a stupid seed? One that really hurts naturally, that makes it look like you can't pay your bills. Well, I've sown seeds like that before at the prompting of the voice of the Holy Ghost, knowing His voice and going against what my mind and checkbook were saying, sowed the seed, got the harvest from that seed, and got to walk into things. And people say, Pastor Mike, I would love to receive that. I hear about money coming all the time to you. Okay, well, wait a minute. Let's back up, because it's not because my name's Pastor Mike that's why it happens to me. It's because I took the time, found out I have God on the inside of me, how to hear His voice. Am I perfect? No, but I'm a lot further along than I was years ago. And then I've actually heard from God. He tells me to do something. Or go talk to somebody. Or go do something that's really hard on your flesh. Or make this commitment, make this sacrifice. And I obey God. What Abraham, what? Take your son up on a mountain. That's what Abraham told him to do. Or God told Abraham to do. And guess what? That went violate everything he could see, feel, and against his thoughts and everything. But he did it. And look at the blessing it led to. But how? Why? Because he heard God's voice. Well, how's God leading us? By the Spirit. People say, I'd like some of these testimonies. Well, the majority of these things that I can think of, there's some things that just fell in my lap that were not led by the Holy Ghost, that were just simply by faithfulness. A faithful man will abound in blessings. Faithfulness will get you into some blessings. But the Holy Ghost will get you into some specific things, because there's some things that take some twisting and turning and doing, and this step to this step, then this step, and then the result. People say, I'd like those testimonies. Well, you can all have them. Because you know what's awesome? I have the same exact Holy Ghost as you do. And you know what else is awesome? I have the same exact Holy Ghost as Pastor Nancy Dufresne has, as Pastor Michael, as Brother Hagen had. Same one. Wow. That's amazing. Because what do we see in all these people's lives? Through the Holy Ghost, they were brought into extreme greatness and blessing. Well, maybe, just maybe, we had to wake up and give ourselves a talk and say, okay, I'm done with dirt to dirt. I'm done with status quo. It's time to actually figure this out. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Come on and just worship Him tonight. We're all born again in here, but I am going to give people online a chance to receive Jesus in a second. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and worship Him. Father, we bless you tonight. We're so thankful for the Holy Ghost. Yeah, before we do that, Father, I know that's why you're having that order. What is that? Yeah, let's just wait on Him for a second. Yes, what is that? Yeah, just go ahead and praise Him and worship Him. And just that atmosphere. There's just something that needs to be done here, and I'm not sure what it is yet. Father, we praise you, 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 praise you. We bless you tonight, Father. We glorify you tonight. We magnify you tonight. We bless your name tonight. Yes, what is that, Father? Just take some time to worship Him. Glory to God. We magnify you. We bless your name. We honor your name. Praise your holy name. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. We glorify you. We magnify you. We bless you tonight. Glory to your name. Yes, just, if you can pray in the Holy Ghost, go ahead and do that. Se torna se te sota ta sati satra na ta soto to son boto scoto ta sa e ta no scoto to sindrama mama ta se trete che sa troppo cota sa trate te. Jake, will you come forward? Praise God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. this is what I hear. Is it okay if I share some things? Jake's going to have quite a operation this week, and he won't be with us for a couple months. He'll be home recovering. But this is what the Spirit of God just said. Someone stand behind him, please. Yeah. Yeah. Faster than expected and stronger than ever. And I know that has to do with the recovery of this Jake. You don't need to recover the way the world recovers. You don't need to recover the way that the doctors say you can recover. And they know what they know, right? And that we're thankful for what they know, but God's stronger, God's higher. And so your recovery will be faster than expected, and you'll come out of that stronger than ever before. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. We thank you. Father, we just praise you. We thank you that this operation will go wonderful. Father, we're thankful for the doctors, the nurses, the surgeons, and all the people that give their time and their lives to help us. And so, Father, bless each and every one of them that will be a part of this and help them. Give them wisdom, give them guidance. And, Father, we just thank you. Father, when I walked out of my house tonight, you said you're going to do something special. That's what you said to me as soon as I was about to get in my truck. I'm going to do something special tonight. Now, I know the way that you led me personally and following that flow of the Holy Ghost, but we thank you that Jake's recovery will be faster than expected and he'll come out stronger than ever before. We thank you for it, Father. We trust in you, Father. That gives us great comfort. Yes, and make sure you share that with your wife. It'll comfort her, you going into that surgery. That all the thoughts that the devil would give you of not making it, not coming out, there's already going to be a recovery, and you're going to be stronger. So it's going to be better than ever before. That's just what the Holy Ghost said. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. It'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. Yeah, praise God. We magnify you. Bless you. Hallelujah. We praise you, glorify you, and worship you. Yeah, and if anybody would have it on their heart to when Jake's down and out, Heather's got the two kids, make them a meal or two or whatever, you know, coordinate it with them. That'd be a blessing. Amen. We ought to help one another. Glory to God. Father, we're just so thankful. Father, we love you tonight. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit. And for those watching online, if you say, what about this Holy Spirit? It starts with salvation. You must receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so if you're watching and you say, you know what, I don't know that I would go to heaven. I'm not sure. John 3:16 says, if you'll believe on Jesus, you'll not perish but have everlasting life. And then Romans 10:13 says, if you call on his name, you'll be saved. And so before this night ends, I encourage you to just get alone with the Lord and declare your belief in him. And it would sound like this. Father, I believe in you. I believe in Jesus. I believe he died and rose again. I ask him to come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. If you'll pray that and mean it, he'll do what he said he would do. You become a child of God. The Holy Ghost will come on the inside of you. And then you're on your way to your best life ever. And if you're confused about all this, that's what that number is there for. That's what that email address is there for. Please let me know. I'll help walk you through this, show you what the Bible says. Maybe you've been taught so many different things. Who cares what you've been taught or what I've been taught? It's what the Bible says. And so I can help you with that. And if you pray that for the first time, reach out to me and let me know. I want to get you started going forward. Amen? Let's stand to our feet and worship him. Hallelujah. Jesus, you are awesome. We bless you. Holy Ghost, you are awesome. We bless you. And Father, you are awesome. And we bless you and magnify you. Praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you and appreciate you. We'll see you next Saturday. You are dismissed.